day. Let me say it again. Oh, happy day. Aren't you excited that today is the day our Lord has risen? If you are walking in Christ, are you excited about what is to come? Man. Woo! Listen. I know I have notes and stuff, but I may pass all that. I may just bypass all of that and just revel. I'm thinking about, first of all, let me just, the fact that, wait, I'm gonna just say this. You know how when you're putting together something like this, right, there's a lot of moving parts, right? Obviously we have our singers, we have our ushers, we got the AV team, you got those who's gonna, you know, speak and do different parts of the service. So there's a lot of different things going on. I want you to know, a lot of times there is no like power meeting. Like there's no like, I'm gonna talk to the AV team and everybody so they know what I'm gonna preach about. There's no, you know, the communion guy is gonna talk with the person's preaching. Like that stuff doesn't normally happen. But this is how the Spirit works. When Mike came up, when Mike Dundee and read 1 Corinthians, I said, you gotta be kidding me. That is my theme scripture today. But what that tells me is that Jesus is Lord and that the Spirit is alive. And there are some things he wants us to hear, even if it has to be said twice. So I appreciate that. I am so excited. Today, he has risen. Despite the struggles, despite the challenges, despite the doubt, despite our enemy, he has risen. Nothing is impossible with God. And that is what we are celebrating today. That is why we are gathering today. Now, I know I see some new suits and new dresses. I've been here for a few months and there's some outfits I didn't see before. I know there's some price tags that was purchased. I get it, you know. In the South, we say we come with the Sunday's best, right? So listen, I ain't mad at you. But it's good though. It is good to be here. It is good to see new faces, friends and families that were invited to come and worship with us. We thank you. We thank you for those of you who are part of different ministries and you just so happen to join us this Sunday. We are welcoming you guys here. We're glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. So he is risen. He is risen, and there is no doubt about that. Now, this week I spent some time, and I think most people have, if you're anywhere remotely religious, you cannot avoid what this week meant. The week where Jesus comes to the cross, where he has come to the end of his ministry and is now about to fulfill one of the most important prophecies that is necessary for our faith. And I thought about, what does this mean to me? Because I know, you know, I've been a disciple now for 28 years. And every year we come to this point, and of course, I'm more sensitive to what this means. And this year, as I was thinking through this, I was thinking, man, for me personally, I thought about how the cross and his resurrection means assurance for me. Amen. It means assurance. It means that the things that I hoped, the things that I hear and I read, that there is assurance that it will happen. That heaven and eternity with God is not a hoop dream. It's not a theory. It's real. Just as much as I can touch my skin, it is real. And because of that knowledge, and because of that acceptance of what God has said, I have assurance. I didn't always have assurance. There was a time where God was so far from me. The idea of walking in the light was a foreign language. I was steeped in my own sin, in my own divulgence, in my own selfish ways, whether because I just didn't know out of ignorance or because I chose not to care. And I believe that many of us in this room are probably in that same boat. For those who are visiting, maybe you are in that scope of maybe, you know, there is a God out there, to I actually want to know more about God, but I just don't know what steps to take. Or life has beaten you up so much and filled you with so much deceit that this is not even something that is being considered. That is a truth for some. But for me, it represents assurance. What about you? What about those of you who have made Jesus Lord of your life? What does the resurrection of Christ means to you today? Now, today we're going to talk about the resurrection, obviously. There's no way you can circumvent that. But I want to go back a little bit. I want to go back to the first century when the disciples were being taught and being reminded of what the power of the resurrection Christ meant. Because Paul had to kind of reconvince some folks. Because although they made the decision to follow God, there was some amongst them that would doubt that the resurrection took place. There was a group that was preaching this gospel, that the resurrection has not taken place. And so Paul had to remind them in 1 Corinthians. So go ahead and turn your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to look at how Paul decided to address these Christians about the resurrection of Christ. Now, Mike did a great job of reading it, and we're going to go ahead and read it again, because like I said, sometimes the Spirit wants us to hear things twice. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, picking up in verse 1, it says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, who was Peter, and to the 12. You see, this, Paul had to remind the disciples of this truth, because sometimes, although we're walking in the light, we need to be reminded. Because sometimes we can go through this life, this journey, and get sidetracked, get a little little delusioned by some of the things we see and hear. And because of that, some of us can seem to forget the very thing that was preached to you and that you accepted at one time. And so Paul had to remind them that, wait a minute, guys, let me remind you of this gospel that I preached to you that you accepted. This good news that Jesus died, was buried, and then he was resurrected from the dead. That is a powerful thing. Again, if Jesus never resurrected, we are living in vain. It's useless. You can hope all you want. The man that proclaimed to be the Son of God, all the scriptures from the Old Testament that led to him and pointed to him, would be useless if he doesn't resurrect from the dead. That is something we cannot gloss over. Paul thought it was necessary for the disciples to hear it over 2,000 years ago. It is necessary today in 2024 to hear it again, that our Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior resurrected on the third day. And that is something that we got to hold firm to. Yes. Don't be delusioned by this world. Don't listen to the lies and the new teachings and all these different things that try to divert you away from the truth. Because Paul says if you don't, you've done it in vain. You've done it in vain. I hate doing things to find out it wasn't necessary. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember being in college, studying for an exam, sacrificing time away from my friends or activities I wanted to participate in. I dedicated myself for this exam to only find out there's no exam tomorrow. No exam. Matter of fact, your calendar's way off. You got about 2 more weeks to go. That's happened to me. That's happened time to time. So I hate doing things to come to find out it was worthless. And so the life that we've been called to is not worthless. It's not in vain. Your sufferings, there's a purpose. Your trials, there's a purpose. The victories you experience, there's a purpose. Because you are in the light, there is a reason that you can attach it to. This is what Paul was trying to remind the disciples in the first century. We know that the power of the resurrection, we've experienced it. We've seen a transformation of our own lives, regardless of when you came to the light. For me, I was a teenager. I was a senior in high school. I definitely saw the transformation of my life because I remember what I was doing and what I was living for prior to being baptized. I knew going into my senior year, the only thing that concerned me was not graduation, but it was about how many girls I can sleep with. This was my life that I was aiming for going into my high school in my senior year. When I got baptized 2 weeks later, everything changed. Every decision I made was based on being in the light. Every interaction with a person, I was thinking of Christ. How do I treat this person the way Christ treated them? I thought about the different relationships and the challenges of being in relationships with other people, because not everybody's like you, right? You don't rub off on everybody the same way. But I had to understand how to deal with different people, different types of people, the way Jesus did. Because now I'm transformed. I no longer have to be living in the direction that I was living before. So we all can attest to it. Those of us who made the decision to make Jesus Lord can attest to see the power of the resurrection in your life. It's about how we treat each other. It affects that. The type of parent I'm going to be, it affects that. The type of neighbor I'm going to be, that is the power of the resurrected Christ living in us. Regardless of the relationship status you have on Facebook or any social media platform, it's about the power of God in your life, the resurrected Christ, the power of that influence in your life is what matters. It doesn't matter what status of life you're in, whether you're rich or poor, black or white, you live in a better tax bracket, or you're in the worst school system, it doesn't matter. The resurrected Christ has the power in our lives. Amen. One of the greatest things that I personally, that I get to experience because of this resurrected Christ and the influence that he has on my life, is being able to sit down with someone who is seeking to understand what is this journey, what is this path I'm talking about, this gospel, and sitting across the table with them and sharing the scriptures with them, talking about how Jesus bled for you, he died for you, but guess what? He also resurrected so that you can participate in that same action and that your life can be transformed. And then that moment happens. After weeks, months, whatever, when that light turns on and they go, oh, I see it. I get it now. That is one of my most favorite part about walking this journey. I already know that I'm good. Like, I know that if Jesus come back today, I'm going back with him. But to know that someone else is gonna get to experience that. That they get to experience a transformed life too. That they get to be able to look at Christ and know what he did for him and did for that person, and that they can be inspired to live out this life no matter how long it takes, whether they get to live to see the golden years of 80 and 90 years old, or what if God calls them back tomorrow, that they can live this life the same way Jesus did many years ago. And that's for all of us that's in the light, that we too can have that same experience. We can share the gospel, the good news, because it is good. Because remember, if he doesn't resurrect, what we're doing is in vain. But we know and we're convinced because of the scriptures, because of what we see in our lives, we know that Jesus has risen. And we know that we have a place waiting for us. So let's bring as many people as we can. Let's find those open people and bring this good news to them as well. These are the things that Paul was reminding the disciples in the beginning. Now, unfortunately, sometimes, like I said, we can forget. And sometimes we can stray away from the truth. And so Paul warns them. He says, by this gospel you have been saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. There is a call for each and every one of us to hold firmly what was preached to you. Do not let past hurts, do not let past influences or current influences pull you away from what was preached to you and that you accepted in faith. Don't let it be pulled away from you. Because again, if it happens, you're living in vain. You're living in vain. How does these things happen? Well, one of the ways is when we neglect reading the word. When we decide to push the word to the side and take on other things in our lives. This is how we can let loose what we once held firm. This is how it can happen. Compromising core beliefs. Things that you held on for so many years, not because someone told you, but because you read for yourself and you were convinced. No, the scriptures is clear about this. This is how it happens when you start watering down those very core beliefs. When you start letting go of those things, you will find yourself living in vain. These are the things that the disciples in Corinth were in danger of if they weren't careful. And so that same warning happens today in 2024 for us. Let us not live in vain. But we are hopeful, and we know who God is and how powerful his resurrected son and his influence in our life has. And so I want to now take us a little forward now, right? Because I spent some time talking about what the disciples heard back then, and they talked about, you know, why it was important for them to remember. And so now I want us to read together what this day means. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to read Matthew chapter 28, verse 10. Now, again, this is a long 10 verses. I didn't put it on the slides. So go ahead and open up your Bibles if you haven't already and turn to Matthew 28. And we're going to read together. Again, this is a powerful thing when we're able to read the scriptures with no embellishment. Just read it for what it is. In Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were like white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him. "Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the power of the resurrected Christ. Here you have the disciples who've been walking with him, learning from him, watching him heal people. And not only that, they knew what the scriptures said. They knew what the Old Testament was saying about Jesus and pointing to him, the prophecy. There's one thing to be said about this. You think about how if you decide right now to get up and go use the bathroom, you may not think that's not a big deal. Like, okay, great, fine, I went up and used the bathroom. But what if someone told you years or centuries prior to that at this time, at this moment, you're gonna get up and go use the restroom? How significant would that be to you? It's a nice chuckle. But think about it. There's more value in it because someone told you this was gonna happen prior to you doing it. This is what happened. Jesus told them this was gonna happen. The scriptures told them that Jesus will resurrect on the third day. And it happened. This is the moment where your faith is confirmed and assured, because it could have been a great idea. It went from a great idea in hope to actually happening. And it was prophesied. It wasn't a guess. It wasn't a theory. It wasn't some scientist putting things together to try to give you an explanation. It was already given. And now it happened. He has resurrected. This is the power that we have access to. Our resurrected Christ. Not only that he resurrected and just kind of, you know, I'm going to just show up to one person. And now that can be an illusion. Oh, well, it's because you're mourning and you're hopeful that you'll see him. And that's why you see him. So you can try to explain it away. But the scriptures tells us that Jesus was witnessed by many. Not only from Mary's, not only from the disciples, but well over 500 others saw him after he died. So you can say maybe one person is delusional. You could probably say three people was in cahoots, but over 500? You can go to jail for less. You can go to court and be found guilty with less witnesses. So it is true. This is the hope that every one of us have, because our Lord has resurrected. He has risen. And that's where we celebrate. That's why we can sing, "Oh, happy day." We're not singing it because it sounds good and there's a piano going with it, so we all in it. That's not the reason why. Like, there is truth behind this. There is hope behind this. There's assurance behind our resurrected Christ. And so now, I want to transition, because I did spend some time talking to my brothers and sisters in here. But I also want to acknowledge that there are some folks in here who have not decided yet to become a Christian. And so I want to talk to you for a minute, because the resurrected Christ for me is assurance. But what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you who have not made the decision to follow Christ yet? What does the resurrected Christ mean to you? And that's what I want to touch on. The resurrected Christ means his death was enough for you. His death was enough. Because of sin, sacrifices had to be made. Before, there was a time you had to bring doves and goats and all kinds of animals, because the blood was necessary. It was part of the process. And so because there wasn't enough animals and blood to cover, Jesus became that sacrifice. He lived a perfect life, never sinned, and became the perfect sacrifice for you. So that now you no longer have to go and appease all types of rituals and traditions. You now have access to the same blood that covers us. This is what the resurrection means for you. It means that his death was enough for you. What else does it mean? Death has been defeated. You see, you and I, we can relate to death. We've known family members, friends, and loved ones that has passed away or dealing with illnesses. We've dealt with death, whether it's by accident or whether it's crime. You understand that, you and I can understand that when this body stops, that it's done. So you can understand that when it comes to death. But the resurrected Christ does something about death. Because he resurrected, that means death is not the final destination. This is a truth that is available to you, that you can live and understand, you know what? If I make this decision to turn and come to Christ, that death will not be my final destination. That I don't even need to fear death, though we would love to live and we would love to experience the things that God has for us in this earthly world. But understanding that death is not the end. That beyond that, Jesus come back and claims all those who are his, and we get to go to heaven and be with him and God for eternity, where there will be no more death. There will be no more illness. There will be no more strife. There will be no more sufferings and trials and temptations. There will be no more sadness. There will be no more illnesses that drains our happiness and joy. There'll be no more of that. This is what the resurrected Christ means to you. And you have access. You have opportunity. You have today. You have today to make the most of this opportunity to look at the scriptures and engage it and understand what is God is saying to you. And you can also make the decision to follow him and have your sins forgiven and be added to the number, because God does love you. God does desire you to be with him. And that's why his son died. His son didn't die just for Christians. He died for the world so that the world will have an opportunity to be with him. This is what the resurrected life means for you. And so with that, hold on, let me read this, because this is going to be important. In Romans 6:4, it reads, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Brothers and sisters, friends who are visiting with us, one of the things about the idea of resurrection, that it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around it. That someone could be dead and then come back to life. I get it. It's difficult. Even those who were alive when Jesus was doing this, there were still doubts of what they were seeing. And so this morning, you're going to get a chance to witness a resurrection. Amen. Today, you will get to see Chelsea Asamoah, who will be buried, she will die, and she's going to be raised from the dead. This is the power of the resurrection. This is the power of our Lord. This is why you see us live the life that we live. because we want to see resurrections. We want to live that life out. And so in a few minutes, we're going to sing two more songs. And what I would like to happen is that I would like parents to please leave right after I finish. I want you to go downstairs, get your kids. Don't fellowship. Don't go to the car. Come right back, because we want you to witness this resurrection as well. Amen.